like to share with you another scripture from very close to the one that I've already read with the children, but this is backing up to Luke 1, anticipating the birth, Luke 1, 26 through 38. And I invite you to listen to these words about the foretelling of the birth of Jesus, the Messiah. Luke 1, 26. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Don't be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will rest upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God. And now your relative Elizabeth, in her older age, has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month for her who was said to be barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." And then Mary said, "Here I am, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." And then the angel departed. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Welcome, little one. You know every child deserves to be welcomed. Every child deserves a place to grow and to learn, to be nurtured and loved, as well as fed and clothed. It's a big responsibility, welcoming a baby. Sadly, there are some times and places where it's not done well, or worse, where the baby is not at all welcome. And for every one of those, I hope that there are potential adoptive parents waiting for the gift, and that the birth parents will embrace that offer, graciously accepting the loving gift of adoption. Jesus was born into a world that ignored him at first. Oh, there was the band of shepherds on the hillside, the group of traveling kings, and even a small choir of angels that took part in scaring the life out of the shepherds right there in the night sky. Other than that, the rest of the world took little notice of the young traveling couple about to be a family of three. Some saw them, surely, traveling by a donkey and went by on the other side of the road. The message of the angel was, "Don't be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God." It's a good thing that the angel started with, "Don't be afraid." But really, what's your response when a conversation between you and anyone else begins with, "Don't be afraid"? It's when someone says, "Don't panic," and what's your response? Well, the adrenaline begins to flow, right? Immediately, especially if it's one of your kids. Like when a teenager comes home and says, "Okay, Dad, Mom, you better sit down." So the angel starts with, "Now don't be afraid." And I have to wonder, well, just how great that worked. But here is a young couple who had stayed apart, and yet now, well, how will this look? An angel told you what? Joseph might have said. And Mary goes to a Judean town in the hill country to visit Elizabeth, her older relative, who was also expecting a child, and that's another miracle story. And that's when Mary breaks into song, thanks to Luke, who gives us that song and says, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior." That text, we call it the Magnificat, magnifying the name of the Lord, has been set to music dozens of times. But wouldn't you love to have heard how Mary sang it? She stays with Elizabeth 3 months, and then about the same time that Elizabeth's due, Mary returns home to Nazareth. It's not clear where Joseph is all this time. Likely he was back home earning their living in the carpentry shop. He probably carved out characters out of olive wood. Or maybe something more practical. But considering where he was, he probably worked with olive wood. And as he worked, he likely imagined Mary and Elizabeth reminiscing. Joseph is a quiet one, though, not speaking much, apparently. At least nothing he said seems to be recorded in the scripture accounts. There's something good to be said for that. A man of action. My brother is a little bit like that, a man of few words, and it causes me to be really interested when he does speak. We preacher types tend to say far too many words, and people sort of stop listening after a while, but Joseph is one who has plenty to say. We assume that he stayed back to work while Mary went to see Elizabeth. He knew things wouldn't be easy. He must have, at times, at least questioned Mary's version of the story. Or maybe he believed the angel, too. But still, Joseph is completely quiet, except for his actions. But his faithfulness speaks, and the fact that he stays true to Mary and to Jesus back in Nazareth seems to affirm his confidence in her story. And you know, if Joseph can be that confident, then can't we accept her story as well? We can buy into the sweet story of Mary without understanding all the science of it, the biology. Science may tell us how some things happen, but Scripture tells us that God, the Creator, initiates all things, and that each part of creation ends with, "And God saw that it was good." So, can't we accept the challenges and the changes that come along our paths and say, with Mary, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." With Mary and Joseph and the angels, and with all confidence and generous hope, on this day, let us all say, "Welcome, welcome, little one."